Luke chapter 21. Got it right. And as we read through this, just keep in mind that the gospel, the word gospel means good news, okay? Just keep that in mind as we read through Luke chapter 21. Because you may be a little bit surprised that some of this is good news. We're starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, everyone. Wow. It is Remembrance Day. And we've been talking, haven't we, over the last few weeks about how we fit into the big story of God. We've been looking at this timeline, haven't we, about how God kicked everything off in creation. If we've got the next slide, if that's working, doesn't look like it is, we'll get there eventually. The story started in creation as God made everything and said it's all good, and especially humanity, which is very good. And then humanity decided to go its own way, as described in the fall and Adam and Eve in the garden. And we said, you know what, God, actually, we do want to do things in a selfish kind of way. It's focused on us and rather than the way that you set out for us to do it. And so we fell from that kind of grace. And instead of living under the rule and reign of God, we started living under our own rule and reign. And so God, in his mercy, sent a people, Israel, to be that representation of what it would look like to live under his rule and reign. But not even they did particularly well at that. And so the story goes that Jesus came as the fulfillment of the promises and the prophecies to demonstrate what it's like to have the king living among us, the one who is faithful. Faithfully live under God's rule and reign. And those who follow him and came after him, filled with his Holy Spirit, called the church, who would be that representation on earth of what it looks like to live with Christ as king in the kingdom of righteousness and love and peace and truth, seeking to restore what's been broken and what's been lost, with the hope that one day soon Christ will return and set everything right. Here, Jesus has been questioned about the future, about how things are going to work out. And his answer shows us how to live and how to respond as we live here in this time between times. How do we live? What does it look like? Because Jesus said these things are going to happen. It's going to be pretty awful. So how then should we live? And before we get to the answers to those questions, just a few comments on the stuff that comes before that. We work in this world for peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And we want to do that. We want to be those who work for peace. But what do we do in this world that doesn't look very peaceful at all? Jesus said that we shouldn't even expect a world of peace. In fact, we should expect these kinds of things to happen. Verse 8, Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. It's been interesting watching the elections in the United States. People saying, vote for me, I can sort everything out. Some people saying, I've got all the answers to the problems that you face. Interesting that already we see Donald Trump going back a little bit on some of the things that he said he was definitely going to do. People voted for him based on one thing, but is he actually able to deliver on that stuff? 8 years ago, Obama got in. Vote for me. Yes, we can. A bit. We can't do as much as we hope politicians can. I am he. It's not just people who promise stuff and fulfillment. It's also things that promise fulfillment. If you just buy this, you'll be happy. If you just live this way of life, if you have this, if you do this, then you'll be happy. Jesus is saying, don't follow after those people. Don't follow after those things, because why? Their promises are empty. Because no one can offer us the kind of satisfaction, the kind of fulfillment of hope that Jesus can. The time is near. People saying, we've got to sort things out because the time is coming and I know when. I don't know about you, if you've ever got caught up in when Jesus will return. But when I was a teenager, somehow, even though I knew these scriptures well, don't think about when Jesus is going to come back because you'll never know. Somehow I managed to get convinced that Jesus was coming back in 1990. Now, I know that's before some of you were born, so it's clearly not quite true. But I got caught up in this fever and fear. Jesus is going to come back, because people who know are saying really confidently that Jesus is going to come back at this particular time. So we need to be ready. And yes, we need to be ready. But Jesus said, I don't even know when the time is coming. So how are people going to know if Jesus didn't even know? It's when the Father decides. And so if people are coming with these false promises, if stuff is being offered to us with false promises, Jesus is saying, look on it with valid suspicion. Because the only one who can be faithful to fulfill his promises is Jesus. Verse 9 then. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately. When you hear of wars and insurrections, that word for war, meaning nations battling against each other, trying to gain power over one another, as we see around the world. But insurrections is from the Greek word akastatatos. Thank you very much. It is easy for me to say. Sometimes, when you practice carefully, akastatatatas, something like that. It means unsettled or restless or disorder. You see, wars are on a big scale, but insurrections could even account for what's been happening in Portland, Oregon, where people are so upset with the vote that's happened, with democracy happening, America setting itself up as the greatest example of democracy. If we all get together and we vote and then we agree to get behind the person that everybody's elected, apart from the people who are really upset and then start protesting because they didn't want that guy, and it turns violent. The disorder that we saw around Brexit, people disagreeing, and well, we're not really sure and we don't really want this, and well, you're against this and no, you're against that. And all of this stuff is what Jesus is saying, it will happen. We should expect it. I've been reading some fascinating things this week, just commentaries about America and particularly neoliberalism, which has been the main political and economic driving force for the last 25 to 30 years. kicked off primarily by Reagan and Thatcher, really instilled and invested in by Tony Blair. Commentator said this back in April: like communism, neoliberalism is the God that failed. Why? The past four decades, he says, have been characterized by a transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. He talks about how neoliberalism was set up to try and create a system that would create growth and create freedom, and so markets would be able to trade freely. But what's happened is that power has been transferred from governments to global corporations, so that individuals feel even less and less like they have a choice. And what's the result? Is zero contract hours, manufacturing jobs being transferred to places around the world where it's just cheaper, and grave disappointment for many who just don't know how they're going to get out of the trap that they're in. Life being defined for many by the richest, those who have the power, who are able to line their own pockets. If neoliberalism had set itself up as the answer, if Trump is almost like the one that encompasses neoliberalism in its greatest sense, because he's got a lot of money, he's gained an awful lot from a lot of people, and he's being set up as the hero of those who don't have anything, who have lost so much. What is Jesus' advice in the midst of all of this? What does he say to us? Don't be afraid. In fact, in the Message, it says this. It translates it in a different way. Keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history and no sign of the end. See, if we think what's happening around us is unsettling, imagine how the disciples would have felt. Because they were in the temple, they're looking around, it's amazing. And Jesus is saying, it's all going to end. It's going to come tumbling down. I'm losing my words today. I can't speak properly. It's all going to come tumbling down. Jerusalem, under Roman rule, it's already happened. Within a generation of Jesus' words, they would come into the temple and desecrate it and then destroy it. The Emperor Nero would use live Christians as torches for garden parties and along the roadways as he's crucifying them and then burning them. That would have lit the way into Rome. Terrifying stuff. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. So if they weren't afraid, maybe we shouldn't be afraid either. Verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues. There'll be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. Stuff that scares people. Stuff that can scare us. You'll be persecuted, Jesus said. Your family might turn on you. Jesus is calling his disciples then and us now to be radical disciples of him, who follow him regardless of the cost. Radical disciples who know peace within the scary things going on around the world, because their Lord, their King, our Lord and our King, is on the throne, Christ crucified, Christ risen, who will return and set everything right. And today we remember those who gave their lives so that we could be free this day to worship Jesus. Those who face the fear of going over the top of the trenches straight into machine gun fire. Those who've braved the new technologies like tanks or aeroplanes to engage the enemy. Those who gave their very lives for us to enjoy the freedom we so easily take for granted. And so the question that I ask us today is, how are we going to use our freedom? What are we going to use our freedom for? Are we going to use it in the way that neoliberalism suggests, which is to line our pockets and make it better by feeding off other people and making sure that we're nice and comfortable? Or are we going to be the radical disciples that Jesus calls us to be? Let's not bow the knee to globalism. Let's not, or globalization. Let's not bow the knee to consumerism or to neoliberalism or any other doctrine than Christ. He's the one who will judge, the Psalms say, with equity and righteousness. And he calls us to hold on to him in the midst of fear and uncertainty. So how do we live then? That was the question we started with. How do we live in the midst of all of this? Well, I think Jesus gives us three things to do. Three ways that we can use our freedom. Firstly, choose not to fear, but to pray. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Well, that's easy for you to say, Jesus. You get to see the end from the beginning. Not being afraid is a choice. And as I was talking to Toby on Friday about the guys who got out of the trenches to walk towards the German lines and then got machine gunned down, were they afraid? Yeah. Did they do it anyway? Yeah. And that is what we honour today. The fact that people went through their fear on our behalf. I said, I'm going to do it anyway. Being a radical disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that we're never afraid. It just means that when we are afraid, we choose not to respond to the fear, but instead to look to Christ. We pray. We pray. That classic saying, we might not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We might not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. The second thing Jesus says is that when bad things happen, use it as a chance to testify. Use it as a chance to share the hope that you have. The Holy Spirit is with us and lives in us. We have a hope that goes way beyond what's happening around us. We have a hope that's defined by love and by grace and by peace. And so when people talk to you about the US election when you go to work tomorrow, or when people talk to you about Brexit, or when people talk to you about the refugee crisis or global warming or any other of these huge topics that come up in conversation, Jesus is inviting us to use that as an opportunity to talk about the hope that we have in him. And just like last week, we were saying, here's four steps about how we can share our faith. The way that we can demonstrate hope in the world is by sharing our hope in Christ. Because true hope and true fulfillment isn't going to come through a political system. Because every political system is going to be broken in some way or another, because it's come from humanity. And we ourselves are broken. And so we look to God. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't get involved in politics, but I am recognizing that Christians may get involved in politics and have completely different views on things politically. But the one thing we can hold on is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so third, Jesus tells us to hold on to God's love. It's choosing these things. Jesus says, these things will happen to you. It will be awful. But not a hair on your head will be damaged. You say, what? You just said you'd be killed. You just said you'd get persecuted. You just said that parents or brothers and sisters will hand you over to either religious authorities or to the political authorities. And now you're saying nothing's going to get damaged of me? What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, we're living in this time between times, aren't we? Where we're seeking to see the new kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth established, the rule and reign of Jesus. And that's the kind of life that he's calling us to represent here. The life that's defined by the future. The life that's defined where everything is completely safe because he is the one who has saved us. Remember that you're loved by the Lord. Remember, he loves you so much. That's why he sent Jesus. Now, we might feel a bit like we're suffering because it's a bit cold in the church today. My feet are a bit cold. It's not really suffering. The saints who've gone before us, who we remembered last week at All Saints Day, they suffered. I don't know about you, but on November the 5th, my favourite firework is a Catherine wheel. I don't know why, it just makes me smile every time I see one. But you know why it's called a Catherine wheel? It's because a lady called Catherine, who followed Jesus, was nailed to a wheel, or tied, I think, to a wheel of a cart, which was driven until she was crushed to death because she followed Jesus. We have it so easy. Let's use our freedom to win others for Christ. Let's not allow ourselves to be defined by the political atmosphere, the cultural atmosphere, because the one thing that remains true through those different things that change is Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. Remembering that we are loved by the Lord is what empowers us to be radical disciples of Jesus. Choosing not to fear, choosing to share the hope that we have, and choosing to remember God's love so that we endure. So on this day, as we remember those who paid the ultimate price for king and country, or for queen and country, let us do the same for our King, Jesus. May our lives reflect his warm welcome to all who come to him. May our lives reflect his holiness and purity, which calls us to repent and change the way we live, his presence, which brings peace and healing, and his coming, which secures our hope in the midst of this world, which is passing away. Would you pray with me?